Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, today we begin a new three-week series that's going to take us all the way to our back-to-school bash on Sunday, August 21st. And we're just believing God that we're going to finish strong. And this is kind of a normal length series. We just got out of a two-month series. This one will be 3 weeks, of course, including today. And we're calling it Summer Stories. And again, it's going to lead us up to back-to-school bash. And I just got to tell you, back-to-school bash is going to be amazing, y'all. Our team is pulling out all the stops. Element students, make sure mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever brings you, make sure you wear your swimsuit, because we're going to have water slide inflatables for all the different ages. Adults, we got your back. We're going to have tents to give you shade in this million degree weather. We even got a mister we bought that we're going to put on one of the tents, I think. And we'll have food trucks out, and we're going to pray over students. It's just going to be awesome. And that's 3 weeks from now. And so make sure that you invite a family, especially if they got kids. It's going to be a special, special Sunday. But in this series, Summer Stories, we're going to look at different stories, one story each week in the Bible. And today we're going to look at a classic because we got our Element students in service with us. But next week, I hope you'll come back. Next week, I'm going to preach on a story in the Bible that I doubt you've ever heard a message on. Honestly, it's very obscure in the Old Testament, but it is so good. I cannot believe they haven't turned it into a movie. Like, and maybe there is a movie out there. You have to tell me next week once you hear the message. But it is so good. It reads and preaches less like a Bible story and more like a James Bond spy movie. Like, for real. Like, it is awesome. I cannot wait to get to that next week. But it ain't PG rated, okay? So I'm waiting for next week when it'll just be mostly adults here and teenagers with us. And then also next week, just want you to know, I got a few exciting announcements. Updates to give you, like, you're going to be pumped, you're going to cheer and celebrate things that are coming, not a year from now, but like this fall, so just weeks from now. And so I want to share that with you. And then of course next Sunday, August 7th, will also be Communion Sunday, so we'll take Holy Communion together. So again, hope you come back for that. But if you got a copy of the Scriptures, Bible or Bible app, and I'm talking to you two Element students, turn with me to Jonah chapter 1, looking at a classic today. Jonah chapter 1. Now, Element students, you know that we've been teaching you upstairs in Bible boot camp how to turn places in your Bible. And so show mom and dad, whoever bought you, some pro tips, okay, of how you find Jonah, because it's hard. It's four short chapters. But Jonah chapter 1. And then also for our Elements, I just love all the stuff that we do for the next generation. Our team put this together. Pastor Anissa, just awesome. But Element students in person in the room. We had these at guest services right there in the lobby. If you didn't get one, ask mom and dad if you can sneak out real quick and grab one. But this is stuff that you can take notes on today. There's stuff you can color, all kinds of things there. But Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and I got a special guest that's going to help me read these verses. My very own flesh and blood, Luke Thomas Weems. Would you come to the platform here? Awesome. You can stand right here. Make sure they can get you your good-looking self, man. I'm glad you got most of your mama's DNA, man. You look so good. All right, here we go. Can you see him online? All right, follow along with them. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa when he found a ship bound from the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose. Then that ship threatened to break up.
Come on, somebody. So, so good, Luke. Love you, man. Great job. You can have a seat. So, so good. I love any time we can get our kids involved. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Lord, we love you so much. So thankful for what you've already done today. So thankful for moments like this where we can have families worshiping together and leaning into your word. And I just pray over the next few moments, this will be a shorter service, God, than we normally have. But I pray, God, over the next few moments as we discuss and and get every ounce, every drop we can out of this classic story. I pray, God, that we would have fun. I pray, God, we'd shout a little bit and lean in. And I pray, God, that you would speak to every single one of us, whether we're brand new to Scripture, brand new to this church, or we're here almost every single Sunday. I pray for all of us that we would leave this service better than when we came in because of your word going forth in power. We love you, Jesus, and we ask all this and pray all this in your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. Come on, can you say amen? Amen. The story in Jonah chapter 1 and really chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, it's great for a lot of reasons. And I want to challenge the adults like myself that maybe you know this story forwards and backwards. Maybe you know it in the original Hebrew language. If that's you, I'm gonna challenge you. Set the pace for our students and our young people and lean in. And I bet there's a couple of things that maybe you've never heard before or maybe you forgot. But really, there's a lot of depth to this story of Jonah, even if you know the basic story. There's a lot happening here beneath the surface. For example, and we just read a few verses, I'll recap a lot of it. But for example, Jonah, the reason why he doesn't want to preach to Nineveh, the reason why he doesn't want to obey what God has called him to do is because Nineveh had invaded his home city. So think about it in your context. If you have your home city, which a lot of you, you're born and raised in Houston, I'm a transplant Houstonian, and so I call this my home city, but I was raised in Dallas. But think about Houston. If we had somebody invade in Houston and take over Houston and hurt people and your family, friends, and all that kind of stuff, and God asked you to preach that people, you probably wouldn't want to go either, right? And so let's not pretend like Jonah's some guy that like, oh, we're so holy. No, we would struggle with it too. And so God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh, the people that had conquered his hometown, Israel. And Jonah's like, no, I don't think I want to do that. Now, not only did Nineveh invade Israel, but when they would invade Israel and other cities, they did some really like messed up stuff. They did some horrible things. I'll spare you all the details because we do have kids up in here. I'll let you answer those questions after service. But the main thing you've got to understand is that, again, the people of Nineveh were some of Jonah's biggest enemies. But because God is so good and so kind, even to those stuck in darkness, and really I should say it this way, especially to those stuck in darkness, God wants to bring even them hope. And how many of y'all know that's good news for all of us? Because all of us got some stuff in our past or maybe even in your present, if you be honest. We got some things and some mistakes that we've made. And God is so good and so kind even to us. And that is great news. That there is no one in this service, in person or online, young or old alike, there is no one that is too far gone for God to save. There is no sin in your life too great that God's grace is not still greater. Can I get an amen from somebody? This is the good God. Yeah, give Jesus some praise. This is the good God that we serve. So again, God calls Jonah to preach to Nineveh, but he's like, nah, I think I'm good. I'll go somewhere else. And as Luke, my son, read, he goes down to Joppa. That's where he goes, which if you know the story, you know that Joppa was in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. This would be in our context, I'm just trying to translate it for us. This would be like God asking us to go to New York, but we're like, nah, we're good. We're going to go to California instead and go to Disneyland, okay? That's our context. God says, go here, and we're like, no, we're going to go there. And so he goes in the exact opposite direction of where God asked him to go. And this is why a lot of Bible scholars, and you can write this down in notes, and parents, be a good example for your kids. They're taking notes. They got their sheets. Make sure you take notes. But this is why a lot of Bible scholars call Jonah the reluctant prophet. The reluctant prophet. He is a man on the run from God's calling on his life. You could say it this way. Jonah essentially goes into flight mode. He goes into flight mode. Like he goes into this mode where he is running away. He is fleeing away from what God wants him to do. You could say it this way. Maybe this will translate better. Jonah puts his heart on airplane mode. Like how many of y'all know on your phone, you can put it on airplane mode, which that would be a great idea in service so you're not distracted. But anyways, you can do that. Like before you get on an airplane, what happens? The flight attendant gets on the intercom and excuse me, we're about to take off. Would you put all your phones, all your devices on airplane mode? And they even come around and check if you're still using your phone to make sure that it's on airplane mode. Now, honestly, I don't know why they do that. If you know why, tell me after service. Apparently, there's some signals that can cross and like cause us to crash. I don't know. That's way above my pay grade. But regardless, they say put it on airplane mode. And so during the rest of the flight, you know this. During the rest of the flight, you can still use your phone, right? Like you can still crush candy on Candy Crush. Like you can still play the games, all that kind of stuff. But you can no longer send or receive data. Like you know this. You can use your phone except for the main purpose why the phone was invented. You can use it, but there is no longer normal communication. And again, that will preach right there because this is what Jonah has done in his heart. Hear me, Christ Covenant. He has gone on flight mode, airplane mode, and he can no longer send and receive from it. He's like, God, you asked me to do something I don't want to do, so I'm going to go the opposite direction, and I no longer want to hear from you because the last time I heard from you, I didn't like what you had to say. And so he goes on the run down to Joppa. He gets on this boat. He is in airplane mode. He is in flight mode. God called him to go there. Jonah didn't like that assignment, so he puts his heart in airplane. And I just wonder today, and I hope you'll write this down. Let's make this personal, practical element, students, adults. Would you write this down? I wonder, what is your Nineveh? What's your Nineveh? Would you write down that question? Make it personal even. What's my Nineveh? I'm not seeing everybody write down notes. I'd love for you to write some of these things down. It'd be a good example for our kids of how we do things in church, all right? I'm asking you to write these down. So important. But what's your Nineveh? What has God called you to do that you didn't like that assignment, so you went in the opposite direction? What is your Nineveh? Because you're Jonah. And not only you, I'm Jonah. There are things that God asks us to do that we're like, God, come again. I don't know if I heard you clear. Let me clean out my ear a little bit. What is your Nineveh? What has God asked you to do that you don't want to do? And so you ran in the opposite direction. I wrote down a few things. Maybe the Holy Spirit will kind of prick your heart as I read these. But maybe for somebody, it's sharing your testimony with a friend or a family member or somebody on in your neighborhood or at your apartment complex. Maybe it's sharing your testimony with a coworker at work. And God asks you to do it, but you're like, God, that makes me real nervous because I don't feel like I know enough or have enough experience. And so you haven't obeyed, even though he's been opening up doors for you. And this is a real passion of mine, by the way, as your pastor, because, and you can look up the studies if you don't believe me, but I think you will. But what's so heartbreaking about us here in America, people that would call themselves Christians, so many, a great percentage of Christians have never shared their faith with someone else even one time. And how many of y'all know that that's got to change, right? So I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to put guilt on you. That's not my style. Y'all get that. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. But I just wonder, for somebody, is maybe your Nineveh, God asking you to share your faith with someone and you didn't listen. Or you did listen, but you didn't walk in obedience. Maybe for someone else, it's inviting someone to church and you haven't done it. You've ran away. Maybe it's forgiving someone that hurt you. Well, pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Well, yeah, I may not know the very situation that you're going through, but I know what all of us have done to God. I know all the times that we've messed up, all the times that we've sinned, and God has forgiven us, hasn't he? Can I get an amen from somebody? He has been so good to us. And so when God asks us to forgive someone, that's not us saying it's okay what they did. It's saying, God, we know what you've already done for us. We can't help but return the favor to someone else. Maybe that's your Nineveh. God's asked you to forgive someone that hurt you, but you haven't done it yet. Maybe it's starting to volunteer or serve in the church, and you're like, no, God, I can't do that because last time I did that, I got burned out, or last time I did that, I was kind of embarrassed because I couldn't fulfill my responsibilities, and so I just kind of ghosted them, you know? Like, you got all these excuses, but again, if God has asked you to do it, it's time that you obey. Maybe for some, it's turning away from sin and finally being done with it, saying to God, God, I love you more than I love that sin, and I'm gonna run away from it and run towards you. Maybe it's stepping out to trust God in some way, starting a business. Or not only that, nobody preaches about this or talks about this. Sometimes God asks you to stay right where you are. And we got so many people hopping from job to job to job to job to job to job. The second things get hard, guess what? You start running away. How many of y'all know that is not what God has called us to do? Loyalty is a big deal to God. I'm not saying that you got to stay somewhere forever, but what I am saying is this: let's not be so quick to run away. Let's ask God, hey, am I supposed to be the one? It's getting real quiet up in here. Am I supposed to be the one to bring the change to this company that I want to see happen? Should I maybe dig my feet into the ground a little bit and say, you know what? I'm not leaving. I'm going to make sure that God brings things back to where they need to be. So often we run away, and God's saying sometimes, hey, you just need to stay where you are. We do that in church too, by the way. The second I say something that's going to offend you, which, by the way, that happens every single Sunday, and you know it. I have those discussions every single Sunday with my wife. Hey, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, right? And she's so kind and so gracious, and she's like, yeah, maybe not next time, you know? And it's just, but it is what it is. So if you're waiting for me to offend you, let's get in front of it. I will offend you one day, okay? But God has called us to just, hey, we're going to stand, we're family, we're going to work this thing out. You know, let's have a meeting, let's talk it through, let's pray. Please pray for me. Obviously, I need it, you know? And so what is your Nineveh? What is God calling you to do that you're running away from? And there is something for every single one of us, myself included. Some area that God has asked us to obey, but we haven't obeyed because we have the excuse. And God is looking at us saying, you know what? You can run away all you want, but how many of y'all know you're always going to lose when you play hide and seek with God? Try playing hide and seek with the God of the universe that is everywhere all at once. He's going to find you, baby. He's going to find you. And we see that in Jonah's story. So again, a lot of you know this. Jonah's running away from God's calling, and then God sends a storm. That's the last thing that Luke read out of Jonah chapter 1. God sends a storm. Now that's very interesting. And I just want to sit on that for a moment. That God is the one that sent the storm, not the devil. Can I say that again? I wish somebody would help me preach this message. Element students, you step it up with me, okay? Like help me out today. Like, I know it's summer. I know it's a billion degrees outside, but it feels good in here. Thank the Lord for air conditioning. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. But, like, God sent the storm, not the devil. I know in my life that so often when something bad happens, I am so quick to blame it on the devil. I can't believe that happened. Oh, you know, what's going on? And God's over here saying sometimes, not all the time, sometimes God's like, hey, I sent the storm not to hurt you because he does nothing bad. Element students, get that in your heart. God is only good, only good. So God sends storms sometimes, like with Jonah, not to hurt him or to harm him, actually to help him. Well, wait, Pastor Ryan, how could that help him? Here's how. God will send a storm sometimes to get our attention because we're going the wrong way. And if he didn't send the storm, we would continue our disobedience and it would end up hurting us. And so God, in his goodness, sends a storm to get his attention. So can we make this personal? Everybody in this church, including me, like, make it personal. Is there a storm going on in your life that you've been quick to blame on the devil or just your dumb luck or whatever kind of words you want to put on it? But maybe, just maybe, and you need to pray about that. Could this be God trying to get your attention in his goodness and his kindness? Hey, you're doing the wrong thing. You're going the wrong way. You got to stop for a moment. And so Jonah, we pick up now where we stopped reading. But Jonah, he is thrown overboard. There's a whole message in itself right there, what goes down. But he is thrown overboard. And here's what verse 17 says. We're still in chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. If you got the Bible still with you, it'll be on the screen. It says this: "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." How many of y'all know that's the worst hotel you could ever stay in your life? Like, you thought Motel 6 was bad, right? Like, that's real bad. So check this out. This is a great story. It's so, so good. So God sends the storm to get Jonah's attention, but he also provides the solution. That's how good your God is. Not only does he send a storm sometimes, not every time, sometimes to get your attention, not to hurt you, but to help you. But when that happens, he is so faithful and so good to get you out of that storm. And so Jonah, he's got a Bible study, prayer time he has during like the time in the belly of the fish. And there's a whole message there. But Jonah gets his heart right back with God. And you would too if you were chilling in the belly of a big fish, right? You're like, I got nothing else to do. I can't scroll on Instagram in here. I might as well spend some time with God. And so that's what happens with Jonah. And Jonah is there for 3 days and three nights. Now, this is the part of the story that you know. Jonah swallowed up by the whale, right? A lot of translations use that word, whale. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you know at least that tagline and kind of the nuts and bolts of this story. But here's what you may not know. A lot of times now, in 2022, you don't hear pastors say whale anymore. And the reason why is because that's not what the original language says. The original language, I know we're going a little deep here, but you can handle it. So the original language in the Old Testament is Hebrew. And so that language, instead of whale, which some translations get it wrong, a lot of them have fixed that, but that word actually means giant fish or large fish, or it means this, sea monster. And we just watched a movie on Netflix with our kids called The Sea Beast, and that's kind of some of the similar things that happened there, and they're actually in its mouth for a while and all that kind of stuff, but that's what the word best means in the original language. And so I don't know if it was like the Loch Ness Monster, you know? I don't know if it was that giant, like, fish thing from Jurassic World Dominion, you know? Like, I don't know if it was that. I don't know if it was something, honestly, that God just made, like, one of. Because this is the part that not only do people know, but this is the part that everybody's skeptical about, right? Like, you know that. Like, how could this happen? I've even seen studies where someone took, which is so weird that they went this far, but they took a whale carcass and tried to see if they could live inside of it. Like, this is some weird stuff that's happened. But people are so skeptical about this part. But here's where I land, and here's where this church lands. The Bible says it, we believe it, okay? Like, this really happened. This is not some cute story. By the way, it's not cute. There's some messed up stuff in this story. This is not some fake, just kind of fairy tale kind of story that God came up with to try to teach it. No. This really happened. And so either way, whether it's one of those options we've talked about or whether it's something else that God provided, whatever it looks like physically, we believe wholeheartedly that this literally happened and that we can trust in what God's word says. And so there's Jonah swallowed up by the sea monster. And the sea monster takes him back to where he needs to go. Talk about a Bible time Uber, okay? Takes him back to where he needs to go. And the Bible says later on in Jonah that it spits him back up on the shore of Nineveh, on the beach. How many of y'all know Jonah's real happy that he was spit up and didn't come out the other end? Okay? Everybody got that, okay? Just to make sure. Like, don't say it again. Okay. But like, that's, you'd be grateful too. And so he spit up on the shore. And I love this. This is so, so good. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3 at the beginning, you can turn there if you're tracking with me. It says this, that once this giant fish, the sea monster, throws Jonah up on dry land, it says this at the beginning, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And that is so, so good. Somebody shout second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And the reason why that's so good and the reason why I got to shout a little bit on this point is because we serve the God of second chances. Is anybody grateful for that? I know I am. That even though we may be disobeyed the first time, young person, hear me loud and clear. Your God loves you so much. He is so kind and so good. Not only will he send the storm sometimes to get your attention, not only will he provide a solution to the storm to get you out of it, but your God is so good and so kind that even when you disobey the first time, he'll give you a second chance. That's how good he is. We serve a God, and honestly, not just, how many of y'all know, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for me. I'm about on my 1,000,000th chance right now, and I'm so grateful that that's who our God is. Jonah chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and this time, Jonah obeys God. He's had that powwow with God in the belly of that sea monster. He had nothing else to do but pray and repent. And after that, that fish spits him up and God's word comes to him again. And this time, Jonah, he obeys. He's like, God, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. God, I would have picked another assignment, but if this is my assignment, I'm going to walk in obedience to it. And he goes and he preaches to the whole city, the whole area of Nineveh, and this is so cool, every single person gets saved. And all we get of his message is one sentence, by the way. Some of y'all wish I'd preach that short. You're like, ooh, one sentence, I like that. Don't amen that. No, don't amen that. Well, now, maybe it was longer, and we just get a sentence, you know? It was probably 30 minutes, you know? But we just get one. In the whole city. So people that study, like archaeologists, like they can dig down and study everything and they can guesstimate based on what they find. They believe that there was somewhere around 120,000 people that get saved. So young people, element students, this is how you can picture that amount of people, because that's a lot. That's a lot of people. I added this up even this morning. But if you took Toyota Center, where the Rockets play, and you added that up with NRG Stadium, where the Houston Texans play, and I say the best for last, and then you add those two to Minute Maid Park, yeah, where the Astros play, God's team, where they play, you add those three up together, I told you I was going to offend you. Well, if I offend you by that, you're in the wrong city, but anyways. But you add those three stadiums together, and that's around the same number. So it helps you kind of picture it, right? That's a lot of people. That's some Billy Graham crusade stuff back in the day, right? That's a lot of people getting saved in one moment. He finally obeyed God. So I just wonder today, let's make it personal. Remember, if the Sunday doesn't change the Monday, the Sunday didn't count. I know you know this story, adults, most of you, not all of you. I know most of you know it, but just because you know it doesn't mean you can't grow from it. So I wonder, if today you say, God, I'm actually going to go in the direction you want me to go. I realize what my Nineveh is, and I'm going to stop running away from it. I'm actually going to run towards it. I wonder the revival that you'll see break out in your situation when you finally obey the word of the Lord. I wonder how things will change in your family, in your marriage, with your kids, in your neighborhood, in our city. If we can get more and more of us that say, God, I maybe would have picked another assignment, but since this is my assignment, I'm going to go. And I'm not going to run away from it because I realize I can't play hide and seek with you. You're really good. And so instead, I'm going to run towards it and walk in obedience and leave the rest up to you. I wonder the breakthrough that we would see. So revival happens. All these people get saved. Jonah finally obeys the word of the Lord. And let's pick up in Jonah chapter 3, verse 8. We shut this thing down. Revival not only reaches the commoners, but it reaches the palace. It reaches the king. And remember, these were messed up people. These were wicked people. Like, it reaches all the way to the top of the top there. Jonah chapter 3, verse 8, part B, it says this. This is from the king of Nineveh. Let everyone call urgently on God. So this king went from just nasty wickedness, you can look it up if you like, just horrible things they did, to making a decree to everyone in the city that, hey, we're gonna call urgently on God. Some of you hate what's happening in our government and And there are some things we do need God to intervene, absolutely. But I wonder, instead of blasting the government official that you don't like and that you disagree with, I wonder instead of that, if you would pray that God would bring such a revival in our nation that it would reach the palace, the White House, and that we could see even those that we would maybe consider wicked, see them say, you know what, God is real. And not only am I gonna surrender my life, but I'm gonna make a decree actually in our nation. That kind of sounds like some forefather stuff. How many of y'all know we're not too far gone, this nation? So instead of casting judgment, why not walk in obedience and pray? Why not walk in obedience? Man, it got real quiet again up in here. I'll keep going. Let everyone call urgently on God. This is from the King. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw, so God's paying attention. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. Young people, that means he stopped. He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So check this out. Jonah obeyed. Nineveh repented, turned away from their sin, their evilness, and turned to God. That's what repentance means. Jonah obeyed, Nineveh repented, and then God relented. That's the order. But it starts with our obedience. That we would say yes to whatever God has asked us to do. And I came here, this is the last thing, I came here to remind us that we serve a God that is watching, that cares and loves even for the most broken people, especially for those. Jesus said himself that he didn't come for well people, that their halo is perfect above them. They just spend all day just shining it. That's not who Jesus came for. Jesus came for hurting and broken people like me. In his grace, do you feel the Holy Spirit moving right now? In his grace and in his mercy. And Jesus is looking for men and women, young and seasoned, that would say yes to the call of God on their life. That whatever their Nineveh is, the place that they maybe don't want to go or the thing they maybe don't want to do that's uncomfortable, that they would say yes anyways. And that when you would walk in obedience, that's when revival would break out. And the more and more people that we can get saying yes to God in this church, the more revival we'll see break out in our city. And I'm telling you, it will reach the palace one day. But it starts with your obedience. It starts with my obedience, that we would say yes to God. Would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes? Jesus, we say yes. Whatever our Nineveh is, the place that you've called us to go that we maybe don't want to go, the thing you've asked us to do that we maybe don't want to do, the sin that we love so much that we don't want to let go of. Whatever that Nineveh is, God, today I pray there be a lot of people in this service and the next that would say yes to you, that I'm not going to run away from your calling on my life. I'm going to walk in obedience. And when I walk in obedience, God, there's going to be a revival that breaks out. I believe it. That you're going to use men and women of God in this house that are walking in obedience to what you've said. And not only is it going to change our city, but it's going to reverberate out and it's going to eventually reach the palace. But it starts with our obedience. Help us, God, to obey whatever you've asked us to do. You've not called us to be comfortable. You've called us to obey. You don't work for us, God. We work for you. So whatever you've asked us to do, young person, whatever God asks you to do, you do it with all your heart, with all your passion, with all your strength. Young person, if he's called you to hold a microphone and preach, you do that. If he's called you to hold a microphone and sing and worship him on a platform as an example to others, to usher them into the presence of God, you do that. If he's called you to be a doctor one day, so not only you can heal people physically, but you can pray for people and see them healed spiritually, you do that. Whatever he's called you to do, you say yes to God. He knows best. I pray for the seasoned saint in the room. What's your Nineveh? What's God called you to do that you don't want to do? It's time to say yes. The word of the Lord has come a second time. It's not a new word. It's the same word on repeat. We don't need a new word. We need to walk in obedience to what God has already said. And I pray lastly for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you. God, I pray that today they would surrender their life. You are so good and you are so kind. You're not mad at us, Jesus. You love us. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for your love and your mercy. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're far from Jesus, today you can give your life to him. There's a book in the Bible in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that's how you're saved. That's how you give your life to Jesus. You confess and you believe. So young and seasoned and everywhere in the middle, you can do that right now, in the room or online. You can whisper this to Jesus. I'll coach you on what you can say. You whisper this to him. Jesus, I confess that you are God. You are real. I believe that. And Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, like it really happened. And I also believe, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. That's what Easter is. That's what we celebrate every year. And Jesus, I ask you, this is the most important question you could ever ask him. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to give me a second chance. Help me, Jesus, to obey and to do what you've called me to do. I know that when I obey you, that's the best life that you have for me. It won't always be easy. It'll be tough sometimes, but it will be awesome. Thank you, God, for those that are giving their life to you for the first time or maybe just kind of a fresh start. That's so awesome. God, we give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.